This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Wrestling Network fans, welcome back across the pond for the 17th edition of the most consistently inconsistent podcast on the network, The Special Relations, where preparation isn't necessary, but a good time is guaranteed. And a year on from when the UK were into lockdown for the first time, I am finally on a Skype call that I am actually looking forward to, as well as all the other pods I've done, obviously. And we are joined by my fellow chaps from across the pond, who I hope are thinking the same. First up, we have a man who, out with his many great regular podcasts that he hosts, he has turned into a true seeker of truth and justice. Recently, he has brought together some of the greatest minds on the network to talk for 8 hours about two of the best WrestleManias of all time. However, we aren't here tonight to discuss why WrestleMania 17 is the best WrestleMania, but in fact, we are here to talk to one, Mr. Ben Locke. Ben, good evening.
It was 8.5 hours, not that I was counting.
It was, well, I only want to remember the first 8.
No, yes, good. No, it was a good time was had by all, but I think by the end of the WrestleMania 19 pod, we were particularly tired and cranky, and let's just leave it at that.
Yes, the last half hour caused a strain on many relationships, not just the ones that were in the chat on the night. Thankfully, everyone involved is still speaking to each other.
Both publicly and privately.
Yes, indeed. And speaking of WrestleMania 17, we are also joined by someone who might never want to watch or even hear about that show ever again. And no, it's not who you think it is. This man, for the past, what must feel for him like an eternity, has done nothing but talk about March and April 2001, and as good as it is, he might be hitting his limit with it. He is, of course, the podcast legend and the purveyor of wrestling 20 years ago, Mr. Rory McNamara. Rory, how are you?
Good evening, all. I'm very well. And again, it's the big eight hours worth of material I have just finished recording over the last week or so, with WrestleMania 17 for me still to come as we do this. So not quite over the hump yet, but exciting times nevertheless.
I think we're all feeling a bit of podcast burnout. So it's like if tonight we all sound a bit tired and weary, then you kind of understand why.
A welcome change of pace here, though, I think, gentlemen.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And I think when you're saying we're all sounding a bit weary, I think you're probably talking about you and myself, Ben, because when that red light turns on and the mic goes live, Rory McNamara turns into, Mr. WrestleMania. Mr.
Absolutely.
Podcast legend.
Yeah. Rory will just carry us through it.
So, you know, much like as the granddaddy of them all, we have hopefully got another granddaddy of an episode for you. That makes it sound really old, but I'm talking about a grand episode that we have. So I'll stop talking and making a complete arse of this transition. Ben, what have we got on tap tonight?
you weren't sounding too much like an arse. Okay, so coming up, we have got the final of our freeform Big Four pay-per-view discussions we've done. We've done SummerSlam, we've done Survivor Series, we've done Royal Rumble. We didn't do WrestleMania last year, so we are going to do that. We're also going to be discussing the whole Andrade-Charlotte situation and the fallout there upon it in the second half of the show, carrying on watching our interview series. We are going to be watching an interview of another much maligned performer, and then we will be watching one of their matches afterwards. And then we will be going for our, what are we calling it, Callum, for legal reasons, the last part?
Not
talk your way out of this.
Not defend Invincible. Yes, talk your way out of this one.
That's it. Yeah, for legal reasons, it's not Defend the Invincible. Yes.
Yeah, we don't want to. We certainly don't want to incur the wrath of the BBC.
Absolutely. We are pretty left wing. They would like us, I think.
They might like us today. They might not like us tomorrow. You know, neutrality is the aim of the game. So I feel this is before we incur the wrath of anybody else listening potentially.
Yes.
And the director general. WrestleMania is just around the corner, gents. Are we looking forward to it? I know we've literally just had the last stop before WrestleMania, but it's been a year in the making. We're finally getting fans back.
I will. Go on, Rory, you go first.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Yes. My silence spoke volumes there. Yeah.
I can feel the gap.
Yeah. I'll take it then if I must. Guys, I'm talking about WrestleMania 17 in a few days. Now you're dragging me up to WrestleMania bloody 37. I don't know. I love the wrestling 20 years ago bubble I live in. It's wasn't life just much simpler in 2000 and what? No, quickly moving on. Okay, WrestleMania 37. Ben, you listened back. You told us you listened back to our semi WrestleMania preview show. Not that you could really call it that. We did last year when Jenny was on.
Yes.
And I have very little doubt that my enthusiasm probably didn't even register for that one. Multiply it, or rather divide it by infinity, and now you've got somewhere where I'm approaching for WrestleMania 37. I am, to use as I say far too often for many reasons, as we say across the pond, I just can't be arsed with it. I really, really can't. I will, of course, do my duty on Saturday and Sunday and sit down with you good chaps and watch it, because with company like that, why wouldn't you? But for the content that, as we record this, still 2 weeks out, that we are apparently going to be given, I do think there's a lot of ill will circling around the company, what with all the Peacock stuff too, which doesn't help, might not affect us in the UK, but these people are our cousins. They're our friends, for goodness sake. We can feel their pain on this one, even if we don't necessarily have the same outcome and results, because we can still watch stuff. But I'm getting the impression, guys, and by all means come in on this, that WrestleMania for the WWE is now becoming a little bit of a chore. It seems to me, and yet obviously COVID, all the rest of it, of course, that more than plays its part. I don't think we need really to talk about that. That's priced into this conversation, I think. But I think, hopefully, touch wood, everything is more or less back to normal next year. I still don't think we're going to see any grand renaissance of WrestleMania even then. The name sells itself. They'll get all the eyes on the product, no matter how difficult it might be this year. And that's their lot. That's all they really care about. And yes, they're a business. Their ultimate goal is to make money. I know that. Film at 11. But wouldn't it be nice if they did at least give the pretense to care about their supposed biggest show of the year? I mean, thrown together is probably putting it mildly. And I hope maybe one of you two chaps can maybe try and lighten the mood a little bit. But I feel my opinions there might be echoed all around this great cosmos of ours.
I totally agree with what you're saying, Rory. And Callum will back me up on this. I actually made a point very similar to that on the Twitch feed, where I said, yes, there are at that point two or three matches that I want to see. There are two or three matches that I want to see, but am I particularly interested in seeing them? And are they, quote unquote, WrestleMania worthy? No, they're not. With the greatest respect in the world, and I'm going to pick on your boy, Callum. Is Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley rushing me to my sofa to watch this show? No, it's not. And I know there's this great love affair with them two at the moment, but there's just nothing here that's like Rory says, can I be arsed? That's kind of my feelings at the moment. It's great that we're going to have fans back. So as a reset, and I think the guys when they did the NWA Twitch feed said, if they treat this show as like a reset and a chapter one, then yes, but there's nothing here which is culminating, we're probably going to get Apollo versus Big E. Do I want to see that match, really? No.
Your problem is, like, you've given you're given WrestleMania 3 weeks of a build-up.
Yeah.
3 weeks. I mean, that's less of a build-up than you gave Fastlane. And I totally get your point. Ben, about Lashley against Drew not being... It's not a ticket seller.
Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. So I'm not saying it just to rile Callum up or rile the fans of them two people up. That's just indicative, isn't it? That's gonna let's be honest, that's gonna headline one of the two nights, isn't it? That match. And you're like, really? That's a wrestling
as we
a
record this
headliner.
Day one headliner.
I knew you weren't saying it to get a rise out of me, Ben. It's just one of these things. Lashley became the champion 5 weeks ago. Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre could headline a pay per view easily if you give them enough time. They've did it with on a lesser extent, obviously, with Impact. It's on a lesser stage, but it's two guys, and everyone's looking forward to that match because it's two guys that have been finally getting their chance. Well, Drew's had his chance for a year now, but Bobby Lashley especially, and he's been excellent for a year, both of them. They've taken all the steam out of Sasha against Bianca, taken all the steam out of it.
The whole tag team thing was pointless.
It was fine at Elimination Chamber. Don't do the same thing 4 weeks later. You've got Asuka, who's been... the champion for what, 9 months now?
Since Money in the Bank,
against Rhea, who turned up last night. 3 weeks build. That match should be built up for a hell of a lot longer than it has been.
Rhea should have made a debut the night after the Royal Rumble. That's what should have happened.
Yeah. Your longest running thing has been The Fiend against Randy Orton, and with the best will in the world, no disrespect to either guy, who wants to see them wrestle again?
one of our number might be quite interested, Callum.
I'm an unashamed fan of that story, and you know I am, but I totally get where you're coming from, because the whole build up's going to be great, but the match isn't going to be that good, and I know that. But that's just because I love the whole Fiend and Alexa Quinn thing, but I know the match is going to be, like, you know, absolute ball like and ball, because I've seen it already and I know what's going to happen. I think the other problem you've got is, and I think this year is probably the culmination of it, you know, and people have been saying this for years about the WWE. They haven't created any new stars. So who's the newest star they've created? Like Roman Reigns? You know what I'm getting at? They rely on these part-time people, and then you get a situation like what's happened in the last year where the part-time people don't want to come in, and now you're having to rely on the full-timers, and the full-timers, on the whole, just haven't got it.
I think that's one of the reasons the card feels so patched together. Because it's not to defend the use of the quote-unquote legends at all. I'm as sick of them as an ex-person. But when they are around, they can easily be plugged in. Or too easily. But that's not the point. At least then you've got your WrestleMania matches, for good or ill. Here, because Edge is the only one who's really knocking about at the moment, they are now forced, their hand is forced to actually get this radical concept, put together a proper WrestleMania card, and look how much they're struggling with it, you know? Just going back to build, you talk there about Rhea versus Asuka. I'm prepared to give them a slight out on this one for reasons we'll get into a little bit later, but your point does stand. This thing as well about having to defend every title that they've got at WrestleMania, I don't necessarily think you have to do that. And that's no disrespect to Asuka. I'm a huge fan. She's fantastic. Any opportunity she should have to show her stuff, WrestleMania or elsewhere, she should. No argument. But they've already changed that women's title match twice now due to various circumstances. They don't necessarily have to rush Rhea to the very top. A very awkward storyline that, let's face it, is gossamer thin anyway, just for the sake of having one. Why not just, if you want Rhea versus Asuka, and I've no problem with the match, I'm sure it will be high quality stuff, but to really make it mean something, you don't have to have it on the WrestleMania card. But you turn around and say, yes, they do, because now they've got 6 fucking hours to fill over two nights. and it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, I'm afraid.
One of the things they've been really good at, actually, in the COVID era, if we do the air quotes, is having these 3-hour shows where you do include everybody. Like Fastlane, there was no AJ on the show. The tag titles were neither tag title was defended. Tag title. Now, I'm not saying WrestleMania has to be 3 hours again or anything like that, but at the same time, going to Rory's point, does everybody need to be on that show? Can we just that's why you have them battle royals, don't you? Just to throw bodies in.
I don't think everyone needs to be on the show. I would prefer if they're going to do that, I do think that the 2 3-hours, night one and night two, is a lot better option.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Than doing the 1 6-hour.
Oh yeah,
yes.
But
you're still going to suffer even that way. The way they've done things, you're going to suffer from burnout. So let me run through the schedule, boys. If you're not aware of the schedule, so. Monday.
As it currently stands, we should say. I'm not talking
cards, Rory. I'm just talking events. Monday, Raw. Tuesday, Hall of Fame. Wednesday, NXT. Thursday, TakeOver. Friday, SmackDown. Saturday, WrestleMania Night 1. Sunday, WrestleMania Night 2. Raw on Monday. That's 8 days. You're asking people to commit to 8 days of television.
And you've also got
even on a streaming service, you know, you're talking. So let's be generous. I know it's going to be more than this, but let's give every show 2 hours. 16 hours. Yeah. At least 16 hours. You're probably even talking closer to 24. Even if you're streaming, that's going to take you a bloody long time to watch. I'm sorry.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And going back to where we're talking from, the malaise in the current product. You're not going to be watching even me as the NXT mark as I am. I'm not interested in that Wednesday night show. A, because we don't get it on Wednesday because I haven't got BT or anything like that. I'd be going straight to TakeOver. I'm not going to bother with that NXT show on Wednesday. Literally the night. The SmackDown. It's the night after. It's the night 2 nights after. I'm guessing SmackDown will be the Sunday.
You've also got if you wanted to, and I know people are starting to watch it because it's actually been quite, they've got something good going on with it. You've got an hour of NXT UK that you could potentially fit in there as well on the network or on BT Sport. I mean, it's just, so.
The point I'm making, I'm sort of carrying the conversation a bit here. It's when does too much get too much? And we're not just there. We're there, and we're capsizing.
Then is when it gets too much.
We're not just there. We're capsizing over, aren't we? Let's be honest.
So in a week we can count it up. So Raw's 3 hours.
Yeah.
Your Hall of Fame is going to be 3-4 hours.
3 hours. I think 3 hours. Yeah.
3 hours. So there's 6. You've got NXTs will be 2 hours a pop. Yeah. So there's 10.
Takeover will be a bit longer, so we can go to 11. Probably.
Okay, so 11. You've got 6 hours of WrestleMania, which is 7, which is 13. Up to 17. 2 hours of SmackDown.
19.
And then you've got an hour of NXT UK if you want to watch it. So you can get at least 20.
And if you want to tag it on the 3-hour Raw on the 8th day.
23 hours in 8 days.
No. You wouldn't watch 23 hours of straight wrestling for comic relief, would you?
No,
I would much rather sit in a bath of beans for 23 hours than watch pro wrestling, you know?
That's almost a full day.
So to put that into context, for us anyway, that's 4 seasons of Line of Duty. You're not going to watch 4 seasons of Line of Duty in one day.
No, because eventually, as much as I am an unashamed Ted Hastings mark, there's only so many times you can hear him go fella, you know?
A comment on Steve's beard.
Oh, do you want a rouse on? After 23 hours of wrestling, this might just become a Line of Duty podcast next month.
But to go back to the current product and everything, out of, I think, the 7 matches announced so far, I would say, 5 of them are good matches, and 5 of them I will watch and I will enjoy. So But like I say, is there anything on those 5-7 matches where I am rushing to my sofa thinking, oh my God, I've got to watch this match, or am I rushing to my sofa because it's WrestleMania and I feel compelled?
That's it.
To...
They've got you, haven't they? Of course, the answer to that is yes, and that's all they need. There are matches there I would like to see. Matches there I'm sure will be excellent. There's nothing there I feel like I have to see.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They don't care about that. That's the issue.
Apart from Bad Bunny and Miz, everything's going to be in that sort of everything that's announced so far, everything's going to be in that sort of 3-star range. You know, Rhea and Oscar will probably get close to 4, you know, that kind of thing. But we're talking 7 good matches. With one exception, sorry.
But that's the thing. I think match quality, I almost don't think we really need to waste our time talking about that anymore. Mm. Of all the WWE's problems, WrestleMania and all year round, match quality is way, way, way down the list. That is now the very least thing I expect. And that's credit to all their amazing roster that they've got, which nobody can deny. But so match quality isn't really part of it for me.
And like I said, I'm going to give them a pass on this because I think the bigger thing, much like say a WrestleMania 1, I'm looking at the bigger picture, and I'm hoping they're looking at the bigger picture. You know, we're going to have people in the audience. We're actually going to have an audience for the first time in the year. There's a bigger picture than just being a critic on this, isn't there?
What do we think of the audience? 25,000 for each night, and as we record this, could be different by the time this show goes out, but as we record this a few days before, on Tuesday the 23rd of March, neither day has yet sold out.
Really?
Callum, what do you reckon?
Oh, that's... I didn't know that neither day had sold out yet. That is not good.
That is surprising.
I don't know if that's... that will be attributed likely to... COVID scepticism and people don't want to go. That's probably what they'll put it down to. But it's probably
they won't blame the match card.
No, they will not do what we actually know is the real reason, is that people just won't want to go. They have not got a compelling enough product for people to go. So I'm looking at the card just now, and it's
Let's have an extensive preview. We could have a preview of the card. Let's see that.
The only thing I can say is there is, as you say, there is decent matches. There is good. There will be good matches. It's having a crowd will undoubtedly benefit this card because it will make it seem like it's bigger than it probably actually is.
Yes.
So, night one. You've got Bobby Lashley against Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship with Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin banned from ringside. You've got Sasha Banks, or back to being Bitch Sasha Banks, as we were calling her on Fastlane, versus Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And you have Bad Bunny versus The Miz in a singles match, which I'm surprised isn't a tag. Night two, you've got Roman Reigns against Edge for the Universal Championship, Asuka versus Rhea for the Raw Women's Championship, and The Fiend against Randy Orton. And what is just now a singles match, I've no doubt that will change at some point. Unconfirmed night, you have got The New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos for the Raw Tag Team Championship, and Braun versus Shane McMahon in a singles match. Again, that's probably subject to change as well.
Omos, not Shaquille, of course.
Not Shaquille, no.
I am surprised that they're mixing the rosters. I thought they would have just kept it to say Raw and SmackDown. That's the way I would have done it.
That would make sense.
Yeah, why not do that? Why not do that?
You can have a WrestleMania and a SmackDown Mania.
Okay, that's why.
They do. Callum would do some sort of pun on it. Yeah.
No further questions. But no, seriously. Yeah, it's right there, isn't it? They must have at least discussed the possibility of doing that.
You'd think, wouldn't you? But
my God.
So here's the thing. Just to just put the cherry on top. So, am I? Like I say, we're sounding a bit conflicted here because, like we say, is this going to be a good show? Yes, it is. Is it a show I am really interested in seeing? No, it isn't. But because it's WrestleMania, and like Rory said, they basically got us by the short and curlies, and we're going to be watching it anyway. Let's be honest.
I think that's the problem. I liken it to what we're saying to last summer when I was. I remember talking to my dad about watching the Scotland game at football, and I remember saying I'm watching it more out of well, what's the word I used again? I'm watching it more out of obligation than I am out of the prospect of enjoying it.
Yeah, you're watching it out of loyalty rather than enjoying it.
Yeah, so I think that's what they bank on every year.
But remember that card last year wasn't that great either.
No.
You know, that was going to be the card that we got was they were going to put that in front of an audience. So, you know, let's not pretend that was just a performance center thing.
No, that's very true. That's a very good point. That was, I mean, they split it into two nights rather late in the day. But
apart from Roman not turning up, that was going to be the card, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Yeah. And I think the pass that they will always get for WrestleMania 36, which I think we should give them.
Yeah, I agree.
But they're quite fortunate in that regard that they do, because if they had given us that as the bona fide bog standard WrestleMania card on the 5-hour show, I've no doubt it would have been.
You're 32 levels of.
I was literally going to say on a bigger subject, you know, out the last few years, apart from 34, has there actually been a really good WrestleMania? Like a really good one.
Well, a lot of people really like 31.
The San Francisco
reservations,
one has, isn't
with
it?
That, to be honest, I like it. It's probably 31 for me is probably the best of the 31s.
Yes,
but I don't love it, I must say. It's just the problem is with these WrestleManias, and it's a very obvious point, but it still needs to be made. They're just so difficult to go back and bloody watch from start to finish.
Yeah, when you know your average runtime's 5 hours,
you're not going to go back and watch that.
No,
you're not going to.
I can tell you. So 36 last year, watched every minute of it because it was at that point in time it was the only fucking thing you could do.
Yep, me too.
35, I watched the first two matches. I haven't watched a minute of it since then, and it was 2 years ago. I have not watched a minute of it other than the main event. 34 died a death halfway through. 33 died a death halfway through. 32 died a death before it even fucking started. 31 is probably your last good one, and 30 is your last excellent one, I think.
Yeah. 34 is one of those rare shows where you can actually pinpoint the moment the show goes downhill, and it's as soon as Daniel Bryan does his first yes chant, yes motion, that everything after that just falls off a cliff after that.
More on that story later.
But it's that whole thing of, like you say, like, you know, are you going to go back and watch a 5-hour show? No, you're not.
29 was excellent. 28 was really good. And 27. I think you talk about 27 fearlessly.
Yeah, the less said about 27, the better. Apart from Punk Gordon, which is brilliant.
But yeah, you're in the 27 territory where you're looking for one match to stand out and you think that was a good match on. But to Rory, your point, it's if they put on a rubbish card, or if they have a rubbish show in ring, that's more difficult for them to do at this point than to have a really good match, a really good show in ring, because of the sheer amount of talent they've got. But it's the say what you will about All Elite Wrestling, whether you like their in-ring stuff or not, they are quite good at making some compelling stories, which at this point in time, the WWE aren't.
They like to, but you remember, you've got to have people building momentum and all that.
they can make a compelling story, and then it falls down when you get to some of the egregious stuff they have in-ring. Sometimes. It's not for everyone,
it's a time thing, and it's the written thing, isn't it? Like, you know, think of something like WrestleMania 14. One good match. But it's the whole atmosphere, the fact that, you know,
yeah,
again, the company's going through this reset period, and it's the effort and everything about that show works. Whereas these shows, you know, your 32s, your 35s, they just sort of, it's just a level, and it just stays at that level and never has that it factor. But it's like that for 5 hours.
Yeah. And like we've spoken in depth about 17 and Rory, you've done the same or are about to do the same.
As the show goes out, I am talking about WrestleMania 17. There you go. There's a looking glass moment for you all.
You're like Rick Rude. You're on both shows at one time.
I'll shave beforehand.
WrestleMania 17 was decent in ring. Nothing to write home about, other than you have three standout matches, I would say, and everything else is just middle of the road. But it's, as you say, it's got that something extra. You can feel the atmosphere.
I was just about to say that. That was the thing I took away from 19. I think I even said it on the pod, because the way we did it, Rory, we basically ranked each match and then gave an average ranking of the show, you know, based on the... I think I said it to Callum, I fully expect WrestleMania 19 to be a higher ranked show, because you've got Ivory versus China there as the curveball that sort of skews everything. WrestleMania 19 is a very, very good, excellent, but, you know, very consistent show, whereas there are much higher highs in 17 with a lower low. And the high does that level of consistency, like, you know, offset the higher highs? And it didn't for me and Callum.
Semi-spoiler, no, it doesn't for me either. I mean, I'll get to talk about WrestleMania 19 in 2 years time anyway, so I can weigh it off then. But yes, I do think, we're getting off the track here, but I do think it's worth putting on the record in our book, and let's face it, we wrote this book. But I see a lot of it on various websites as well, when a reviewer will do his or her review of Raw or SmackDown or Dynamite or something like that, and they'll give it whatever score they give it out of 10. I know I could dispute one of those, whatever score out of 10 it is, but never mind. Score rating out of 10. And then you have some people in the comments saying, oh, yes, but you gave two matches 4 stars and another match 3.5 and 2 matches 3.25. And you've only given the final show 7.8 out of 10. If you take that as an average and divert to the mean, it's actually a 9.1. And it doesn't work like that.
No,
it does not work like that. You cannot judge an entertainment form, which, like it or not, is what pro wrestling ultimately is, if you just purely and solely take everything based on match quality and nothing else. Then A, you're missing out as a fan, and I say that as somebody who likes your down and dirty on the mat 25-30 minute technical match as much as the next person. And secondly, all the extraneous stuff, all the bells and whistles, especially for a show like WrestleMania in an ideal world, and all those intangibles, which something like WrestleMania 17 has in spades, they play into it as well. Which goes back to what I said earlier. Match quality takes care of itself. Mm-hmm. For any form of truly, truly great show, you've got to have a little bit more than that.
We might have said something quite similar to that to our detractors, I think, Callum. I think that's fair to say.
I think so, and I think by the end of it, whether they like to admit it or not, they understood it as well. Because let's be honest, I've got access to my match ratings where I'm sitting at the desk just now. I've got my match ratings beside it. WrestleMania 17, my third highest match, involved Vince McMahon. And on WrestleMania 19, my highest ranked match involved one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Match quality is not the be-all and end-all.
Absolutely not.
And this WrestleMania at this point in time is not looking as if it's got any of the X factor that 19 or 17 had.
We've got Bad Bunny, who's going to provide some great entertainment for us.
So this is where I just go back. That's where the company fail then, because in-ring stuff, they've got it. I'm sure there'll be many people there hitting 4 stars plus. No question about it. Some tremendous matches that in the future I'd like to go back and fire up on the network. Fine. Don't worry about that. The in-ring talent have got it all sorted, by and large. It's down to the company to provide us with everything else. And that's where the problems begin.
Yeah.
And they show no sign of ending.
If Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre have a four-star match and nobody's watching, is it really a four-star match? Yes, because I'll be fucking watching.
So then, gents, we're all looking forward to WrestleMania this year.
And on that note, remember to tune into Twitch on Saturday the 10th.
We will be here on Twitch, yes.
I'll tell you what, guys, I'll tell you this now, though. This time next year, when we're back to one-night WrestleMania, 6 hours worth, we'll be thankful for this chat about this one, I promise you.
Remember episode 17 of the Special Relations, when we were saying that two-night WrestleMania's were the dog.
I will not be twitching at 6 o'clock in the morning, Calum, just to let you know. That sounds ruder than I meant it to sound.
I'm sure you will be.
we'll clip that one as well. I'll put that next to the tough semi.
That was live, pal.
coming in on that. Woohoo!
Look,
you're keeping the bar low. I don't need to do much to bolt over it. Okay. I even tied my own ankles before I tried, and I still get over with these. But just a couple more quick things before we wrap up. Sort of wrap up the first half, and again, sort of coming out of the WrestleMania chat. Ben, I'm going to throw to you on this one, because it was you who first saw the specific rumour that we're going to discuss, which we're going to parlay into a wider discussion. If I'll let you do that first. So why are we discussing what we're discussing here first off?
Okay, so we are discussing... it was yesterday, wasn't it, Rory? So we're recording this on the Tuesday. Monday. I think Sunday was when Juan Andrade got his release from the WWE, and he got a full release with no compete clause, so he can go anywhere he wants, whenever he wants, basically. And then this rumor came out that Charlotte, his girlfriend/fiance, basically got strong-armed into this release. So the rumor went, the company WWE basically said, you can either have your boyfriend or have your WrestleMania payday. And she apparently, I'm doing air quotes, chose her boyfriend. Now, this is a case, obviously, of people putting two and two together and making 556. Because as we recall this on Tuesday, she has come out and said, the reason I am not on television at the moment is because I've had a positive COVID test, like a lot of performers and a lot of people in sport. And it's just this thing, and I know Rory's going to go particularly rantle about it, if that's a word. It's a thing of internet fans in any medium, this social media age we live in, just taking something and making an unsubstantiated rumor just to fit the narrative of what they want to go. Like, oh, he's left Andrade, so that means she must be going out the door. Well, not necessarily. Look at the Adam Cole and Dr. Britt Baker. There's two people who are in quite a loving relationship and work on the same night up for different companies. It can actually happen.
Peyton Royce and Mr. Ten Man.
Yes, Peyton Royce and Shawn Spears as well. Another example. But it's just like I said. You know, people were not saying allegedly, or if this is true, they were taking this as fact. And just because some guy posts it on some message board, everybody suddenly become a journalist just because they've read it on Twitter. What? it just blew my mind.
I know Charlotte is one of their main people, but she's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. She's not even a Roman Reigns. I don't think she's got as much sway as people think she's got.
Agreed.
I genuinely don't. I don't think they would have. I don't think they would have given her the option. And let's be honest, if they really wanted the guy, they put a 90-day, they put a 120-day no-compete clause on him. They clearly... He's not been on television since October. They clearly don't care about the guy.
Yes.
For one reason or another.
I definitely could see a thing maybe where she said, give him, like, don't give him the night, you know, don't insert the 90-day clause in. I can believe that. She, you know, she would have gone to bat for him with that regard. But the other part of it, you know, the ultimatum, I mean, I know people, you know, people have got a low opinion of WWE as a company anyway, but what kind of dickhead low ball move would that have been? You know, you've got to choose the person you love or money. Basically, that's what it's boiling down to.
That I mean, that's some form of litigation waiting to happen. Like, yes. You're stopping them performing their job because of that. That is just, I don't know. Even without a union, that's a ridiculous thing to say, that's beyond a union. I mean,
Jerry McDivitt, if that one went to court, even dear old Jerry McDivitt would need quite the wind behind him to get away with that one.
Yeah.
And it's the whole thing of, and I'm sorry, I'm taking up Rory's time, but it's a whole thing of people were taking it as fact just because it's Vince and the WWE. And yeah, Vince, we're not saying anything. Vince is angelic or whatever. But like, you know, Rory just said, they've got a legal department. They've got a HR department. Even they can see like what kind of message this would be sending out. And there's no way in hell they would have done it. No way in hell. No chance in hell if you want to be...
there we go.
But it just blew my mind how people were taking this at face value as if it was a fact just because, I don't know if this is the name of a company, but I'm going to use it. Oh, WrestleVote says it's true, so therefore it's true. It's just stop it.
It wasn't even, and this will be a good segue to Rory's one, it wasn't even WrestleVotes, because WrestleVotes is normally quite, or reasonably, on the money with some of the...
There is something called WrestleVotes, and sorry for dragging you in, guys.
No, they're normally quite close, not always on the button, but normally quite close in what they say. Yes. But Rory pointed out something that may hamper the credibility of the claim.
Yes. So number one, most importantly of all, get well soon, Charlotte.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. We joke about her a lot on this show, but you know, do we don't wish that on anybody.
No, I've seen firsthand the damage this horrible illness can do. And sadly, there are a lot of people out there who think it's gone away. It has not, and we ain't there yet. So anybody who catches it has my full sympathies, and I hope Charlotte and anybody else listening to this who might be suffering from it makes a full recovery. This rumour, and I knew even before I read it, I knew it was a rumour. It apparently broke on, of all places, 4chan. Hello to everybody, by the way, on 4chan, if you're listening to us through your microwave. But, of course. And I did see the screenshot, and it was posted by our dear old friend, Anonymous7861.
Oh, him!
Dave Meltzer's alter ego on 4chan.
Well, actually, does that, Ben, this goes back to what you were saying. That, right there, somebody takes a screenshot, posts it on Twitter. If that is what you see, this ramshackle, three lines, the bold text is in the wrong place, the full stops are all over the show, that's all you see. Well, Charlotte was forced to choose between her fiance and WrestleMania. That's all it says. There's nobody but nobody. Is it just me who looked at this and thought, hang on, what a load of complete and utter fucking bollocks. And this is the issue, right? It's not just with pro wrestling. It's with politics and rumors, I don't know. Well, in film or anything that breaks now on social media, right? And this is the issue I have with it. If you can react near instantly to something like that, right? You can do that without thinking or waiting. Why can't you just hold back for another 20 or 30 seconds to see if somebody validates the story or not?
Mm-hmm.
If you can do the first thing, why can't you do the second thing? And it really annoyed me. I saw a lot of accounts who I did have a fair bit of respect for, I must say, posting either their version of the screenshot or commenting on it as if it was gospel.
Well,
with a blue tick, who really should have a blue tick, has said anything remotely like this rumour at all. but everybody just went with it right away. And it really did fuck me off something rotten, I don't mind admitting.
What I was going to say, sorry, Callum, just cut in. What's been the biggest news story since the last time we spoke on air? What's the biggest news story that's dropped? Science is golden, but...
And Andrade being released?
No, I'm talking in the world, not just wrestling, in the world. What's the biggest story?
In the world.
I'll give you a clue. It was an interview.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was actually going to make
our second reference in as many months to the Blessed Nicola, but let's move swiftly on.
Rory, it's still a bit raw. It's still a bit raw. She's guilty of sin, and she knows it.
I can hear the pain in your voice, Callum. I really can.
It's the social media age that we live in again now, whether you agree with what they said or not. Rather than collecting up both sides of the story, everybody's siding with one side versus the other already. It's like, well, no, you've got, you know, you can't just go off one interview or one interview with Oprah or one appearance on an open bus with James Corden. You've got to hear both sides or learn both sides of the story before coming out with some rhetoric. And it's the same again with this, isn't it?
But even that, I mean, as Rory pointed out, you've got to find some holes in it, because Meghan's come out and said that someone in the royal family made a racist comment to her, and then she immediately said it wasn't Prince Philip, and right away her story went down, because if anyone has said something racist, it's fucking Prince Philip all the way.
And the other aspect of it, we'll get back onto the Charlotte Andrade thing in a sec, is yeah, she says that about, you know, the racist comment, and all the media in America jump on that defending their girl, which is, you know, I get that, it's perfectly reasonable. But then in the very next sentence, she's like, and Oprah asks the question, who was it? She won't actually tell you who it was. She's only heard something off Harry. You know, I'm not, you know, it's just somebody, it's just, you know, you're not hearing anything firsthand, are you? That's what I'm saying.
Yes, but you've got to have, there's no... It was something like that has been sensationalised, and this whole 4chan geezer has been sensationalised completely.
Yeah,
because there will be a modicum of truth somewhere in what people are saying. It has to be.
There's always, like you just said, there's a modicum of truth, but people just got to, instead of just going straight for it because they've heard one side of the story, do a bit of research, find out things.
We just seem to
be living, and you know, not just like I said, not just in wrestling, all forms of life with Twitter and stuff like that. Just everybody just lives on social media, and just straight away, you know, I think we've said it about other things as well, guys, haven't we? There's no black or, you know, everything's black or white now. There's no shades of grey.
Well, that's the thing about faceless people on the social media. So about 10 years ago, maybe a wee bit less than that, I remember I was flicking through Twitter, and you guys all know Danny Baker, a TV radio personality over here. He was on Twitter going, and he was saying that he had been invited to a secret gig in London, which was the reunion of The Jam. And he was putting on it, and he was like, oh my God, they're playing this now. And I get caught up in it. Thousands of people get caught up in it, thinking this is the Jammer. He's maybe not meant to be saying this. The Jammer getting back together. We're going to be playing Glastonbury. Get your wellies out, guys. And he was saying, "Oh, I was a bit drunk. I was just doing a test. I've just been listening to like the greatest hits of the Jam. And if you look at one of the greatest hits albums, the songs that he says were on the playlist were one after the other on that greatest hits. And he's like that. But it shows you, somebody on social media could tell you anything, if they say it confidently enough, and it could be true, you'll believe
absolutely
it.
True. Yeah, absolutely right. It's because people on, you know, it's the old Raven line. This is specifically pro wrestling, but it applies across the beam. When Raven says, the smartest fans, as they call themselves, are the easiest people to fool. It's the same here as well, because people are going in with their own biases. Whatever they see, it's red rag to a bull stuff. It really is. And with this specific Charlotte story, you've got the people who dislike her, who will take that story as gospel because it shows that, oh, she's cowered and she's whipped out in the face of Vince McMahon. Or you've got the people who do like her who will say, look at her standing up to Vince McMahon, standing by her man. It's perfect stuff, isn't it? Whoever anonymous 1234567899999999111 actually is, he or she, and let's be honest about this, I think we can safely say it's a he, knew what he was doing here. And it's the easiest thing in the world. Transfer deadline day, somebody will just call themselves, they'll have no avatar picture, no original following or followers. They can post any old bollocks and that'll be retweeted around the world in no time. And then when it doesn't happen, the fans will start tweeting, or worse, their club saying, we were promised X, Y and Z player, where are they?
I've just seen Messi at Manchester Airport.
It's like the brilliant one. I've talked about this before. On the old 606 boards back in the day, I want to say 2005, somebody on the Aston Villa boards, and it wasn't me, by the way, actually posted just very simple one sentence, I hear Raul is on his way. And the place went absolutely fucking dense. I just sat back and smirked and enjoyed it. And the next year, I think it was the year after, might have been the same person who posted it, old Gooty's at the training ground, and it all went off again.
Oh, I've got Gooty. What a player he was. I tell you, if Gooty had played at the wrong time, he was a world-class player that was just overshadowed by all the... If he didn't play in that Galacticos team, he'd be known as one of the best ever. That good.
He was a good name drop at the time, and it got us chattering. But yeah, the point is just... You are allowed to take your time on social media. We live in an... I really sound like Grandpa Simpson now, but we do live in an age of instant these days, don't we? It's milliseconds, but it still doesn't have to be. And at the end of the day, you're the one with egg on your face. People who tweeted about this, posted about it yesterday, if they just waited until this morning, they would have got the truth. And they would be hastily deleting their tweets right now.
Everybody wants everything right now, right at this minute. Just like Rory says, just take, not necessarily take a chill pill, but just take your time and find out all the facts before you. Because even if you delete that tweet, guess what? Somebody will have screenshotted it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it's one of these things. Like I completely agree with what you're saying, Rory, because I believe it was a good friend of the show, Logan Crosland, who highlighted it, or he was the first person to highlight it that I saw. And it's one of these things, you first see it and you think that is plausible because of the way that some of the higher ups can be. And it's only when you do take a step back that you go like that. No, it's not. It's complete and utter bull plop. At least that's what I thought. Maybe I dove head first into it.
No, I know I'm with you because they haven't got the best reputation, and like we say, Vince isn't an angel, but they've got legal departments, they've got an HR department. There is no way in hell they could do something like that. Even if they wanted to, there is no way in hell they could cover it up or hide it.
They've got many reasons that they're an HR nightmare, but this is certainly an HR nightmare too far.
Yeah. Independent contractors or not, that is outright fucking blackmail.
Mm. Yes.
Come on.
And independent contractors or not, that is somebody who would be on a very good contract. I think we can all agree on that. If we, if we just want to put a dollar and cent value on things, never mind the moral value.
But that's also like loss of income as well, because she would have had a hefty check for WrestleMania.
Wow.
So that's a hefty check. They would still need to write for.
Let's be fair. I mean, she's meant to be coming back this week. Her clearance is back for this weekend. And we were talking about the lack of time for build. She could quite easily come into, be in a triple threat with Rhea and Oscar, couldn't she? Still, quite easily could happen.
They could just give her. They could just give her a showcase.
Or even a cross brand match with Bayley. Yeah, Bayley's doing nothing.
Her and Bayley would have a good match. Her and Io Shirai. If Io loses a takeover, open challenge night two of WrestleMania. Out comes Io. You'll spontaneously combust, Ben.
Oh, don't.
So
Don't get him twitching at 6 o'clock in the morning again.
he will have slightly more than a tough semi at that point.
are we gonna end every segment with like that callback or that?
No, I'll end the segment on something a bit more highbrow. Given that Mr. CN Almath does not have a no compete clause, where do we see him ending up, gentlemen? Do we think he's going to be hashtag all elite? Do we think he's going to hashtag make an impact?
I can actually see impact, you know. That makes a little bit of sense to me, where the pressure's off for him a little bit. I think if he goes into the pressure cooker of you know where and ends up being covered in mud before too long, then I actually do think he will be lost in their not inconsiderable shuffle. I reckon impact could have some legs for it. I'll see what Ben thinks, but Callum, you've already given us a very interesting possible theory on this, but let's go to Ben first.
Yes.
I think he will end up in AEW eventually, but I could quite easily see him going to Impact or even, I think, where Callum's going to go, so I won't mention the other place, but I think he could go there first before he goes to that AEW. What I also think will happen is wherever he'll end up, he will be with, you know, Thea or Zelina Vega, however you want to, you know, however you want to, whatever name she comes out with. So he will be there as a double act.
Well, that's also something that you've got to take into account, because I completely forgot about that. That's a wrinkle to it as well. Now, apparently, she has, or is imminently about to debut with All Elite. So you could see her. You could see him going to All Elite for that, but it's not really worked out for Sean Spears. It's not really worked out for Rusev, because they just become another guy.
I think it's a thing as well. Like I know where you're coming from with that, but also the fact that they are expanding to a third show. You know, I know it's on YouTube, only on YouTube, but there's that need for talent, isn't there? You know, it's getting a bit like WCW and Thunder, isn't it? There's that need to have more talent. So I could definitely see him going to AEW eventually, but I think there might be a road stop before that. But whatever happens, I think they go in as a package.
Yes.
Because I also think as well, her husband's going to be the next on the chopping block, so there might even be a three.
Could be. That would be a hell of a team.
Yes.
I am going slightly off piste with this one. I think he could turn up in Ring of Honor, because I believe he is very good friends with Roosh, who is the current World Heavyweight Champion, going back to their Los Ingobernables stable. Hey. I believe they've got an offshoot of that in Ring of Honor just now. It will let him work with CMLL in Mexico if he wants to go back there. Impact could be another shout as well, because I think they've got a relationship with AAA. So does All Elite, to be fair, but he'll be a big fish in a small pond, which not the worst thing for him if he goes to Impact. But I think he could end up in Ring of Honor again. He'll get a wee bit more freedom. They've got a nice Mexican contingent, I believe, as well. So that's not off the table, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't see him going to Dynamite or AEW straight away. I think there will be something first.
Mm-hmm. I can see it, because there has to come a point, and I think we've probably reached that point already, that All Elite cannot sustain the amount of people they've got on the roster already.
No way. No, they can't.
So, and I think, to be fair to Tony Khan has said that if the pandemic hadn't happened, they wouldn't have all these people there, but they were bringing in guys to work and give them a payday, which is very honourable of the guy. They've kept them on the payroll.
I agree.
To for that reason, but there'll come a point where once wrestling gets back to normal and these guys have got places to go and work again, you might see a call from All Elite as well. So there might not be any room for them. So that's that. That's been a hearty debate, and we've got the much anticipated and unofficial return of Rory's Rants. So I think that's a good place to break it off there. Just let the dust settle. Let Rory go and, you know, get himself maybe walk around the block, cool down a bit.
I'm not sure I'd come back. I'm straight down to Twitter headquarters. You know, it's like that episode of Black Mirror where he's waiting outside, what is it, Smithereens headquarters?
So before Rory starts a one-man protest outside,
while that's still allowed in this country.
Okay, right, hard break, guys, hard break. We'll have the static at that point. Yes, I think it's time for a break there. So don't go away. We've got another interview review on the other side, another talk your way out of this one, and much more fantastic banter. And you might get another football reference. I know we teased you a bit with Guti and Raul there, so we'll see what happens. But until then, we'll see you on the other side. You think you're special, you do. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it. When you laugh at me, look down on me, and walk around on me. Just one more fight about your leadership, and I will straight up leave your shit. Cause I've had enough of this, and now I'm pissed. This time I'ma let it all go out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way or the highway. This time I'ma let it all go out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way or the highway. Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network fans, welcome back to the second half of episode number 17 of the Special Relations Podcast. We have gathered Rory back. He forcibly has come back. We think he's cooled down. You know, a cup of tea will put anybody right. Let's be honest. So we have got a wonderful second half planned. It's all kicked boiling up nicely in the first half. We had our half-time break. It came just at the right time for the players, and now the players are back and ready to go for the second half. And I'll pass it over to the man in the middle, our referee, Mr. Ben Locke. Ben, what do we have up first to kick off the second half?
We are carrying on. I say carrying on. We're continuing with our series of interview reviews, and again it's another performer, much like our first interview review was with the Stone Cold interview with Sasha Banks, and we are also going to be talking about another much maligned performer and you could probably say a much maligned interview as well, and then we will be watching one of their matches immediately afterwards, as well as talk your way out of this at the very end of the show.
Excellent. So yes, I think we teased that we had another interview lined up last time, but I don't think we actually told our listeners what it was.
To be fair, Callum, the thorough way I prepared for this podcast, I totally forgot about it till about 2 days ago when Rory said this was the interview we need to watch. I was like, all right, okay.
I think when Rory goes, suppose we better do this. It's always I always wait for that message going, suppose we better do this. Because oh fuck, that's what we're meant to be doing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, of course. Yes. Preparation. You know, 101 here. So I think I think I jokingly said it in the break. When we did the one last month, that we should do it, because I remember this interview was much maligned, and well, it's not to spoil things too much, I think quite harshly, but the interview in question is Chris Jericho live with Stephanie McMahon. So this is from, I believe the date it was on the network was the 30th of April 2015, which is quite scarily almost 6 years ago now. Which is awful to think about. We had barely had the network at this point. We had barely had the network, and now the network is barely available for our friends overseas, which is just an amazing turnaround in 6 years. But yeah, it's not looked back fondly on this one, and I thought quite harsh, to be honest. My overriding thought, and I want to get you guys' thoughts on it, is you can just tell by the two of them talking to each other that they have quite a bit of they're good friends. You can tell the affection they have for each other. From working with each other for so long, and obviously like on screen and off screen. So I don't know what you guys thought about that, if that was something you picked up.
So I'll take this one. So I've watched this interview a grand total of two times, the last one being about 6-7 hours ago. what I took away from it is, like you say, that their relationship, that they're quite clearly friends, not just wrestling friends. You could imagine that the couples would go out for a meal, that kind of friends. They even make reference to that at the very beginning, don't they, with the whole Seinfeld conversation at the very beginning in the interview. But what I will say is, this very much to me felt like, apart from maybe about 10 minutes in the middle, this very much felt to me like Steph the executive answering questions rather than Steph the person. She let Chris in slightly, but then quickly shut the door. I think there was only that real bit when she was talking about Triple H and meeting Triple H and the relationship developing. That was the only bit of the interview I thought where she really fully opened up. The rest, she wasn't guarded, because she was answering Chris Jericho's questions, but you could very much tell, you know, she's very much had her background in human resources and marketing, and she knows the line. But the other aspect of it is, and I look watching it again, and I still don't understand how this was like a two and done series. Because, you know, this interview, and I've seen the senior interview, they were perfectly good interviews. So, and I don't understand why it finished after that, whether what was said, you know, we've all watched the interview, and Vince was off camera, but there was nothing said untoward, I felt, at any point.
If I remember right, Jericho was only a short-term replacement because it was only ever going to be short-term because he was between Fozzy gigs, or I think possibly the more accurate one is that Steve Austin was filming the Broken Skull Challenge and couldn't do his podcast on it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think he was a replacement for when Steve Austin couldn't do his.
Mm. But the point still remains. Like I say, it was a two show run.
Oh yeah.
There's nothing in this interview, there's nothing in the Cena interview before where you think he said, you know, nobody said anything controversial that, you know, this show needs pulling.
I wouldn't say so. But Rory, what were your thoughts on it?
Just quickly, when was the Vince interview on the Austin podcast, as was then? Was that very early network?
That was in the first Austin run, wasn't it? The first Austin pod run.
2014?
Carry on talking, Rory. I'll have a look for you.
Have a look.
Are you there?
I'm looking up here.
Yeah, so I don't know if we mentioned this interview took place on April 2015, so it was shortly after WrestleMania 31. And when Callum suggested we do this interview, much trepidation on my part, to put it mildly, because to completely contradict what I said half an hour ago, I completely believe what everyone is this interview to be an absolute fucking bust between somebody who I have a long-standing distaste for and somebody who I have over the last only year or so a short-standing distaste for, but given some of his actions in that year, he's more than made up for it. Anyway, so I was cold going into this one, it must be said. But you know what? It was all right, wasn't it? I think I know, and I'll get to it in a second. I think I know why this had such a bad reception at the time, and I'll explain why I think that was in a second. But I thought this was a perfectly acceptable hour-long interview. I agree with you, Ben. This was Stephanie the professional rather than Stephanie the person. I wouldn't be entirely shocked if the nature of questioning wasn't laid out beforehand to some degree. Maybe not an outright vetting, but I don't think Jericho was probably given too much free rein to riff during the hour. Wanted to know exactly where everybody was headed, let's say that. But despite all of that, I thought Stephanie came across as reasonably effusive. I think she was pleased to be there. They clearly, as you said, Ben, enjoyed each other's company. I think she opened up at just about the right times. There were things in there I was previously unaware of, such as being scared of George Steele, meeting Andre the Giant, manning the phones when she was first in the Fed at the age of 16, 17. So a lot of charming, if not necessarily desperately interesting stuff. And that probably is the reason why this one was so panned, because I think people were hoping, really against hope, let's be honest, that this was going to be a real dirt dishing session and Jericho was really going to go deep into there and pull it into places that she probably didn't really want to go and would have no choice to answer. But that was never really on the cards, let's be honest. And I don't think that would have been an especially pleasurable watching and listening experience anyway. Stephanie McMahon, and a lot of people might disagree with me on this, Stephanie McMahon isn't somebody I would necessarily really like to probe with questions. There are other people in that organization I would put ahead of her in that regard. I'd have about as much chance with them as I would with her, but never mind. But there was always the sense, and this is fair enough, that she was fulfilling some sort of contractual obligation. But at the same time, it was a contract that she herself very probably drew up. So it's not as if there was a self-made conflict of interest there. One thing we'll get onto in a second, which takes into a live match, just to date this one, in 2015, where she's talking about the possibility of the women main eventing any show one day. Judging by the way she was talking at the time, it seemed like a very distant prospect. But hey, here we are. And it should be said as well, never the most humble person at the best of times. The philanthropy is the future of marketing and all that. But this predates that by a couple of years. And I didn't get the sense at all that she was laying down her own quest to invent women's wrestling, as she has sometimes been labeled in the ensuing years. Again, not entirely unreasonably. But it seemed to me as though she was somebody who really wanted to use her power and authority to help that situation rather than to make it all about herself. Again, I'll leave it up to the listeners to decide how in the ensuing 6 years entirely successful she was at doing that. But I got the sense it was a genuine passion for her and that really came across. This was nice, and I don't mean that as a pejorative term. I think we could use a little bit more of that. Jericho, for me, and I don't listen to Talk is Jericho every week because of the nature of some of his guests and the nature of much of his behavior, as I've already mentioned. He's not, and you guys might have heard more than me, so by all means, correct me if I'm wrong. He's not really an interviewer necessarily, but he is a pretty decent asker of questions. He tends to let, this isn't a criticism of him. He tends to let the people involved do their stuff and go ahead with it, which is why I think the questions were probably pre-planned beforehand. But that's only a minor point. Yes, don't expect the earth if you check this one out, but don't let your predetermined biases, to make another point from earlier, get in the way of enjoying it. I really thought this was fine. I really, really did.
yeah, there was definitely some interesting bits to it. So the bits I really liked was the bits at the end with the, you know, talk about the women's wrestling with the benefit of hindsight, and as Cam's reminded us, the near 6 years since the interviews took place, where things have moved on to. And also, I found really interesting the bit at the beginning when she was talking about, you know, the Eisenhower Award and all that kind of stuff when she'd been to China. And I wish they'd have gone into a bit more detail about that. But yes. that was like an intriguing little tease.
What was her exact word? She had to defend the WWE or something.
Yeah.
It would have been
a bit like, you know, you've heard about the Oxford University debates, wouldn't it? That's what I'm imagining. Where you've got to sit there, you've got to stand there and basically defend it to a bunch of well-read. People with degrees and master's degrees or the Chinese equivalents. But it was a perfectly fine interview between two people who know each other quite well. Some of the stories you knew, some of the stories like that you didn't know. And yeah, it wasn't telling you anything. You know, it wasn't going to change your life for an hour, but it was a perfectly good way of spending an hour.
Yeah, it was like, and you know, the one thing that she was talking about the Eisenhower Award, and she was talking about, like, as you said, the George Steele story, the story about the affection she had for Andre the Giant. It humanized her. She came across as now this is going to be an unpopular opinion to many if they've got as the preconceived bias that Rory was talking about or hadn't seen the interview. She came across as very likable.
I agree.
Yeah. The most revealing bit was when Jericho asked her about right at the very end about what her favourite match was, and she picked the match with Brie. And the reason she picked the match with Brie was because it was the first time her kids had seen her wrestle.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And you did go. No, oh, it's quite nice actually.
Last time I checked, and I check, most people don't. Stephanie McMahon, for all her faults, and they are legion. You know, she is a human being.
I believe that's not, correct. Let's not I forget that. I believe that is correct.
Yeah, just okay. It needed to be said.
Yeah, I always have the. You guys know the joke that she can't smile like a regular person.
That came across in the interview.
It just looks like that's just her natural. That's just when she's laughing. That's just the way that she looks, which is, you know, quite scary in itself. But it's not put on. It's not put on at all.
No. And the other thing I want to say, and I think we'll mention it all probably, is the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, does it? The Vincess line was very telling.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
I also liked the bit where she was talking about Shane, and it did seem as if, I don't know if this is true or not, but it came across as their relationship broke down. You could tell they were really close, and their relationship broke down when he, or potentially broke down when he left, and you could tell that it hurt her that they weren't talking to each other as much as they possibly could have. And she gave this read. I noticed that she gave. I had to check. That's why I know the date of it, because I had to check when the date was, because obviously Shane came back in early 2016, and she gave a wry smile when she said he might come back at some point. And I wonder if she knew at that point that the wheels were in motion for Shane to come back, because she did seem to miss having Shane around all the time.
Yeah, like you could tell, like the relationship had broken down, and say whatever, when did Shane leave? 2009, 2010, something like that. But then at this stage, because she even made mention of the fact that they'd spent Mother's Day together, so they obviously were talking and seeing each other at this point. And yeah, that door was, you know, slightly ajar for Shane to come back as and when he was ready.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was sort of a jokey suggestion, but I'm glad we did it, because it was an eye opener.
Definitely.
Mr. McNamara, do you have any other thoughts on this?
Did you find out the date of the Vince Shane?
Yes. Sorry, I did. December the 1st, 2014, so about 5 months previous.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was the first of the Austin podcast run.
So they started it with there. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, all right. Just on the process,
and I think Austin did one with Triple H, not long after Vince or not long after this one. So they were getting all the big wigs in. It was an eye opener, and I found it interesting as well that she said that the one thing that she wanted to do more was wrestle, which I was very surprised to hear.
And speaking of which,
absolutely,
just 3 years
later. What a segue, boys! What a segue!
That's why they call me. Oh, you know the rest.
Yeah, so she did mention one person that she mentioned a lot was. This was obviously not long after, a few weeks after WrestleMania 31, and she had her, at that point, WrestleMania moment with one Rowdy Ronda Rousey. And she had hoped that at one point, Rousey would end up in the WWE. She was convinced of it after, because Jericho pointed out that Dana White had said, absolutely not, she'll have a match. And Stephanie seemed convinced that she would because she was a fan. And lo and behold, on April the 8th, 2018, Rowdy Ronda Rousey made her in-ring debut as a tag team partner to Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And I think Stephanie's WrestleMania moment from WrestleMania 31 might just be overtaken at this point. I had hinted that we might do the match that both Jericho and Stephanie were in, but I think the consensus was that this one was a better choice. So, fire up the... I was going to say fire up the network. Is the network still going to be a thing when this comes out?
They'll still have it. They'll still have it.
Okay. So fire up the network.
Another week.
Yeah, fire up the network at WrestleMania 34 or season 34 of WrestleMania episode 1 if you're on Peacock. I am currently at 1 hour 25 minutes and 16 seconds. Is that roughly where you are, gents?
Yes.
Got it. Very sorry.
Okay. So Stephanie McMahon, the culmination of Stephanie McMahon's road to WrestleMania, doing what she wanted to do more of in the Chris Jericho interview, starts in 3, 2, 1, play.
Also, I just want to very quickly say, if this has been taken off your version of the network by the time you listen to this, it's also available on YouTube.
What's left of Kurt Angle?
this would have been more impactful had he not been the last minute replacement for was it Roman? It was a last minute replacement for at TLC.
No. Oh yes.
The TLC, yes. Not for this match. Though.
I thought you were alluding to. Yes, that's what I thought you were alluding to. This match.
No, he was always. He was this one was always planned, wasn't it? It was just.
Well,
The Rock, maybe.
Yes, I was going to say, what was Rock filming that he couldn't come here to do this?
2018.
Fast movies. Because Kurt was definitely second choice for this, but it works out fine because obviously with their Olympic background, they actually were, it's a good story to tell as a team.
It's a good story to tell, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, he might be broken down, but if you've got two guys in there who are needing to drag two non-wrestlers to a good match, I can't think of two better guys. Say what you will about Triple H, he knows how to put a match together.
Here she comes. So here's a question for you two, because I think I can guess the answer. So I'm guessing you two... Did you two watch any UFC? I'm guessing you might know, you would have known who she was, but...
I knew who she was, and I knew...
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And unfortunately, towards the tail end of her... Well, through a lot of her career, I knew... I've saw a lot of her fights on Vine, if you remember Vine. because Six seconds was all you needed in a Ronda Rousey fight at the start, I think. And then Twitter was quite unforgiving when it came to the matches that she lost towards the tail end of her cage fighting career.
But even with those fights she'd lost, she's still transcendent of that, because, you know, of the last 10 years behind Conor McGregor, if you ask anybody, like, you know, a non-fan of UFC, Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor are the two names that people will come out with.
Yeah, she's not, at this point, she's not a former cage fighter. She's not a former, Olympian. She is celebrity Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
What's she doing at the moment?
Well,
both these two have podcasts in one way or the other.
I think she's
which
quietly.
Which one I'd rather listen to, I'm not sure.
I think she's just quietly enjoying life on the ranch, I think.
Good for her.
She's made her money. She's saved her money. She's trying for kids, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. She is, yeah. So Hercules, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, came out in July 2014. No, that's not the wrong. That's 2018, isn't it? 2014 yeah. was 30.
Permission to swear, Callum.
Go on.
Fucking green shirt and Jesus kid are there. Oh, fucking hell. Sorry. Right, sorry, carry on.
No, whilst I'm looking up the year of the correct New Orleans WrestleMania, he had Skyscraper, which came out in July of 2018. And he had Rampage, which came out in April of 2018. And I want to think, did he get hurt doing one of them? I don't know. There was definitely a reason that he couldn't.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it.
Well, you think that's three films in a 3 month stretch, basically.
Yeah.
I haven't got my phone to hand, but I remember I did put this in my WWE. I want to say it was about 85. This match.
It's a lot. I mean, it's an excellent match given the circumstances. You've got Stephanie, who is as a non-wrestler, she's a company executive. You've got Ronda, who is a fighter. You've got Kurt Angle, who is broken down to all hell.
But can still throw a mean suplex.
Still throw a mean suplex, but you worry that his neck's going to snap in two at any one point because it's made of pasta. the good old neck made of pasta. So you've got Triple H, who only works one match a year, trying to lead these three people into having a watchable match. It sounded like I'm Triple H's biggest fan just now, but I do think he works wonders in this one.
And we're also going to have to say something good about Natalya, because she's the one who trained her.
There we are.
Sorry.
Little more enthusiasm, please, Mr. Locke.
I forgot. Yes, sorry, Rory, yes.
You make it sound like such a trial. Oh, we'll have to say something nice about Natalya.
No, I forgot who I was on with. I'm not on the Natalya hate train as most people are around here, but yes. For those who do not remember, Natalya is the one who trained Miss Rousey up.
I'm not a fan of Natalya in the ring, but I am a big fan of Natalya on Total Divas. I'm an even bigger fan of Tyson Kidd having to put up with her on Total Divas.
I can honestly say I think I've watched one episode of Total Divas in
it's
my life.
It's not as bad as you would think. It gets spicy when Ronda Rousey comes in because none of them like her. Especially Sonya Deville for some reason. Sonya Deville hates her.
I just think it's a thing of I just don't like that kind of show, so I don't watch Towie, I don't watch Made in Chelsea for our American friends, I don't watch The Real Housewives or Jersey Shore or anything like that. They just do not appeal to me. I'm not saying that as some sort of elitist snob of television, because goodness knows, you know, the kind of programmes I like. I like the Masked Singer, for God's sake. So let's not make it sound like Ben's being like, you know, a snobby TV person.
No, it's not. It's reality TV, not for everybody. But we watched a few episodes after watching Fighting with My Family. The good lady wanted to see some more Paige. Big fan of Paige.
Yes.
And we watched a few episodes of Total Divas, and hilarity ensued with. Hilarity ensued with Natalya trying to try out new gimmicks, and she wanted, see the cat lady thing? Eventually, the cat lady thing, she wanted to be, how do I put this without us getting kicked off the air and without Rory having to leave us, a sexy dominatrix. A sexy cat-based dominatrix is what she wanted it to be. Now, how she thought that was going to get on PG television, I don't know. But she she got a dominatrix round to the house, and she wanted to get to give her tips. The girl was making her practice on Tyson, and he was having none of it.
Oh, blimey.
And he got his keys and walked out. He's like, I'm having none of this. I'm one half. This would have been 2000, WrestleMania 31. He's like, I'm one half of the tag team champions. I'm not doing any of this shit. And walks out. Oh, it's brilliant. I'll need to try and find the episode for you, because it is a good watch. Rory, you probably have it on. You probably have it on your watch again.
Do I ever? Twitch at 6 a.m, baby.
Is that going to be the episode title, Twitch at 6 a.m?
Yep, already decided.
I'm gonna make a slightly serious point of this. About as much, I love the fact that like they build the anticipation up to Ronda making the tag.
Yeah, the thing I really like about it too, she's getting it right. She's coming across as somebody who wants the tag. She is a fan of this stuff. She studied it, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, she gets it.
Yeah, she really does. She really does. Some might say she lost a little bit of it when she actually became a semi-regular, but that's a discussion for another day.
I was going to say, how do we feel about her year in the company? I think we can look at it with hindsight.
I think we'll look back on it a little more fondly than we see it at the moment.
Yes.
Because the Becky stuff happened in 2000, summer of 2018, and rather derailed her. And she ended up having to edge heel, which I don't think was the original plan. She made a pretty decent fist of it, don't get me wrong, but I doubt, well, certainly when this match was going on, that they had any designs on that happening. But at least with the stuff with Becky, they rightly ran with it, and Ronda was, somebody had to be, was affected by it. But I think she was very effective in the role she did play, and I do hope we see her back, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be for a while, and if she's happy, I'm fine with that too.
Like you say, she gets it. She gets being a heel, and you know.
I think their ultimate end goal at this point, they are aiming for 35 with Hart and Charlotte. Absolutely,
absolutely, absolutely.
And Becky gets, thanks to Nia Jax, Becky becomes the second coming of Steve Austin, and it's then your match is Becky, and you end up having to shoehorn Charlotte into this. To be fair to her, you end up having to shoehorn Charlotte into the spot that she was probably told she was always going to have.
Mm.
And it just makes it look egregious. I mean, look at me complimenting Charlotte a lot tonight. I mean, what's happening? this National Day of Reflection really has me reflecting.
So do we think if this... You go first,
sorry.
Go and ask a question.
I think Callum's spot on. I think that was always... I don't know if it was necessarily always going to be the main event of WrestleMania, but that was Charlotte Ronda was always going to be the match. And Becky, you know, we spoke about it before, the SummerSlam match, like, they were not expecting that reaction from the crowd. They were expecting Becky, that was a heel, you know, a quote-unquote heel turn, where the fans were losing their shit over it, because it was that, you know, they love Becky that much. So it actually, the Becky thing actually started 3 months before the busted nose, even.
Oh, it was before then. Yeah, that just really helped cement it. Really,
yeah,
it's it was before that.
It was you have the visual of her with a busted nose and surrounded by the crowd. That's what tipped it over the edge.
Somebody's gone up as Donald Trump in the second row here, or I hope it's somebody gone up.
if you remember about Becky as well. So in the run up to that SummerSlam, she basically ran through the entire of the SmackDown Women's Division. You know, obviously, I don't know if it was that big at that point, but it was still like, she still went on about a 10-match winning streak. And, you know, in storyline, they even played up as a best mates just come in after a week and just usurped herself into the match. And they still wanted the fans to cheer Charlotte.
Yeah, absolutely. The question I was going to ask is, did this, I could go back and check, 10 hours, there's the usual reference, but did this match feature in either of your top 100 WWE matches?
Yes.
Can you remember whereabouts you had it? Again, it's out there, everybody.
I can't remember exactly where I put it, but I think I had it, would have been about 90, about 85, yeah, okay. 90, somewhere in that range.
That sounds about right. I don't remember, I didn't have it in mind, but maybe if I do another list in due time, because this is one of those matches, and we're seeing it right here, it's everything it needs to be. This is probably, having said that, the one thing I have a little, you know, look at that on commentary there, what a counter by Stephanie. Yeah, okay. This is where the problems arise from for me. This is the one part of the match I'm struggling with, but doesn't make it right, but it was always going to happen. That's a good turnaround, though, with Triple H not doing the tag. They get around it quite nicely there.
Yeah.
This match is meticulously put together.
I will say this for them. They do, although they try and present Steph as like this evil bitch, they always give the vibe of she's in a little bit over her head. Like, Ronda should be a killing machine, shouldn't she? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But like, you always have Steph at, say, level 8, let's say, but Ronda, is at level 10, 11.
Yeah. Well, you saw the other, like, she, the panic that was on her face when she realised that Triple H couldn't stop the tag from happening, so she'd have to get in the ring. You look over that she finally breaks out from the armbar because she pokes in the eye, and she's immediately looked for the tag because she doesn't want to be in there. And she's,
I don't mind this bit. Like Rory says, yes, it's a bit, but like, I have no problem with her trying to show off moves and, you know, the fact that she isn't quote-unquote very good, because it's playing off what's going to happen later on, where Ronda does get a proper hold of her and, shit's about to go down here. But the other thing I was going to say, the reason why it made my top 100 at that point quite low is I think this is a perfect, however you want to phrase it, like popcorn sports entertainment. I love this move, by the way. Perfect popcorn sports entertainment match.
Yeah, it's a great popcorn match. Mm. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that spot right there.
You know, and we, going back, I'm going to keep the plug our WrestleMania 19 podcast that hopefully will be coming out at some point. everybody on the call lost their shit, didn't they, Callum, about Vince and Hogan? And that match to me is basically a 48-year-old giving a 55-year-old a leg drop through a table, a creepy smile, and a fat old man in a kilt turning up to hit somebody. And that's the match.
I wasn't there.
But you know what I'm getting at?
It was my highest rated match of the night.
Yeah. I just didn't get it. I just don't. I think I still gave, don't get me wrong, from that description, I should give it dud. I think I still gave it 3 stars, but like, I just didn't get the loving for it. And I still don't.
I feel like I should ask, what show, because it hasn't gone out yet by the time we record this, did you do live watches of both 17 and 19?
We did. Hence, like 8.5 hours.
Okay.
not in one go, I hasten to add.
How are you going to release these?
Fuck knows. how we're going to release them?
This is an absolutely 100%. I suppose I should ask this off air, but now I'm doing it during this match. We can't cut it out. So, so what? Under what auspice did you do it? Was it under chicken salad?
So we did. No. So it's a totally. So it's a totally separate podcast of its own, and we're calling it the WrestleMania 17 versus 19 Summit. So we watched WrestleMania 17 first, then we watch WrestleMania 19, and then at some stage we are going to record, like, you know, we're going to have the debate, let's say. Okay. Where people, you know, let's put it this way, a certain member of our group, not mentioning any names, Logan, was slightly more than half cut, so he would want to be sober when he was talking and debriefing about it properly.
You are, of course, going to wait a couple of weeks before putting it out, aren't you?
Callum, will you verify that I've already stated that it cannot come out before It cannot come out until after Rory's podcast.
Yeah, I think what we were going to do was, well, one of the ideas was release it Saturday, Sunday of WrestleMania weekend. But given the fact that they're four hours and 4.5 hours,
look at this.
We might need to space them out a bit. Because it's they're matches from 20 years ago. It's not as if we really need to hear the reaction straight away.
And by the way, that bit is superb.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Love that.
See, if only Triple H did this just a little bit more often. I don't want to sound like another one of our cousins at this point, but it just doesn't happen enough. But here, he's getting it right.
That is a great facial.
That's good timing, Stephanie.
Right,
runs away like the
count.
This is quality stuff. It really is.
What Stephanie mentioned a lot in the interview was that the whole thing about her character, as we know, it doesn't take a genius to work it out. And this, in the PG times, is she can say and do what she wants, and the people that she's saying it and doing it to can't do a thing back to her because she's a woman. But it all builds up to a point where you have a Ronda Rousey who she can say and do what she thinks she can get away with because she's got away with it for so long, but it turns out that Ronda Rousey can do something about it.
Quite right.
And sometimes you just need to put up with all the shit that goes before it, making the big show cry and emancipating Mick Foley to get a moment like this 2.5 years later where...
Almost makes up for some of them. But no, I totally agree with you.
And at this point here, them two out of the way, you almost think like Triple H is basically just going to get the win because Kurt is disposable at this point.
So that's reminded me of the question I was going to ask a few minutes ago. Now these two are in the ring, Angle and Triple H, it probably makes sense. Do we think this match would have been, okay, not necessarily better, but at least different if the first person mooted to be in Angle's role in this match had been so?
I think it would have been more sports entertainery. If that's not a proper word, but that's the word I'm going with.
I think the whole Rousey debut, Rousey getting the catharsis of Stephanie getting her comeuppance, I think it all gets lost if you have The Rock in this match.
Yeah,
totally. It's completely overshadowed.
Overshadows it. Mm. That's no disrespect to Angle at all. But
Rousey's the star, and she should be treated like the star. Kurt's a wrestling star and has all the respect in the world, but hasn't got that out of that celebrity cachet that Rousey's got.
And let's be honest, The Rock doesn't need another one of those moments at this point, anyway.
No,
another one.
And I think.
What do you prove by doing it?
I think it also helps that Angle did have that one match. As much as I say that it would be nice that this is Angle's first match back in the WWE after what would this have been 12 years, it does help that he had his moment with the Shield because his first match back the night after he goes into the Hall of Fame doesn't overshadow Ronda Rousey either.
Mm.
Everything is focused on that one person, yeah, as it should have been at the time.
This is a nice callback here.
Yeah.
Then Angle, and if this proof is if anyone needed, Angle can sports entertain with the best of them here as well.
Oh, yeah.
Look at his facial expression there. Lovely little shrug.
Obviously, these two have got a massive history together as well.
Yes. As he's I three?
Yes, it's three,
enjoying
yeah.
reliving, very much yeah. so. Oh, stiff pedigree.
The greatest love triangle in wrestling history.
There aren't too many others, to be fair, but I still think it takes top spot.
Yes, but even so, out of the ones that are there.
You won't get criticism of that out of me, other than the ending, but go back and listen to my
They don't sit in the landing. But,
listen to our end-of-year review show for 2000 if you want more from me.
What I like as well is you've had all the years of non-intergender wrestling. And this one just breaks down. Triple H is going to pedigree Ronda Rousey, no link. And it's different because you don't see man on woman all the time. Rightfully so, to be fair.
Meaning and context.
Yes. That makes it sound as if I want, like, every week Triple H to bat or somebody. That's not the case.
And I will say this, because you just threw it off camera, off ring there. As much as we all malign Cole and Graves, did you just notice how they basically just lost their shit when she put the armbar on him?
Michael Cole is not a bad commentator. No, when he's given the chance to commentate.
Look at him there in the background. He's stood up.
Michael Cole's issue is when he becomes a corporate shill, or he's forced to become a corporate shill.
Oh my. Are you kidding me?
Vintage.
Yeah, all that shite. But see, when he was
steals one. All of the old favourites.
But I'm gonna say it again, building momentum.
Shut up.
But see when he's allowed to commentate, I will point you towards the UK Championship Tournament. The first one, I'll point you towards the Mae Young Classic. When he's allowed to do what he does, he's fine. He's perfectly acceptable.
That's the image. Look at this that right is, there. On the hard great. Camera, they've both got the submission holds on.
Don't you submit.
They're trying to help each other. Look at that. That's... Okay, slightly contrived spot there, but...
I can live with that.
They earned it.
Ronda doing some excellent trash talking on Steph as well. I don't know if you picked up on that.
I'd like to have heard that. I think with Ronda as well, they did recover from her debut. I didn't like the way she came out at the end of the Women's Royal Rumble wearing...
Just pointing at the sign.
Obviously pointing at the sign with a coat. I know it's a very special one that was at least 7 sizes too bigger for her, wearing that little smile and looking like she was no older than 10. Not the most auspicious way to debut her, but they built from it.
I'm going to slightly agree and slightly disagree. I think they could have done a thing where the music hit, she comes out, and then I would have just faded to black then when she came out.
Yeah, no, that's a good call, actually. Yeah, that's all right. Okay, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to say this now. Do you put her in the Rumble?
No.
I don't think so either, but it's interesting to think about.
You put her in the Rumble, she's got to win.
At that point, you know, obviously Oscar was undefeated and she had to win it, basically.
Steph going for the pedigree.
Okay. Yeah, this spot's great. This sequence is great.
That's it. She's still holding on in these moves for far too long, but what you gonna do?
Here it comes. It's like I say, look at that. Like, she's just looking around. She knows now.
And there it is.
She did have sort of the eyes of like an evil serial killer. And like, yeah. There's Dana, of course.
Naturally. Yeah, what glorious... what's the best way to describe this? Highbrow trash is how I'm going to describe that match.
I like that description.
Yeah, she looks genuinely happy with herself, and as well she might too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
a great effort from everybody involved, despite my nitpicks. That I really enjoyed reliving that one, I must say. First time I've seen it since, well, the event itself.
Both of them, yeah, like you say, were genuinely happy, yeah. Yeah, here we go. Just
I can hear the coach. I can hear the coach on commentary as well. I forgot about that.
And I love the fact that like, Triple H takes, like, you know, just showing on there on replay, because it's one of those things saying, well, if the boss is willing to take it, then
Triple H looked more vulnerable than Stephanie in a lot of these moves.
Yeah. You know, if he's willing to take the moves, then the rest of you motherfuckers can.
I'm not gonna ask you to do anything I won't do myself, pal.
Well, that's exactly right. And like Rory says, look how happy they both look. They look both like it's gone absolutely.
A job well done from Angle as well. He
yes
might have had his doubts, but they were eradicated. Marvellous. Yeah. Tremendous. That's... When the... It's a WWF then, force of habit. When the WWE do this sort of thing and do it well, there's no other form of entertainment who can match them.
Mm.
There really isn't.
No.
Problem is, their miss rate is greater than their hit rate, I'm sad to say. But this, we all know what category it falls into.
But it's stuff like this that makes it's the to use a golfing analogy, you can play shit for 17 holes and you get a birdie on the last and you come back next week. It's stuff like this that makes us keep coming back week after week, month after month, WrestleMania after WrestleMania, for better or for worse.
That's so there great. We go, before the tap out piece, is that playing now on WrestleMania?
Certainly is, yes, just to date this even further.
The tap for a long out 3 years, everybody.
Oh my. Might as well have just been one for fucking Ico Pro.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Great match choice.
Come on.
Oh, I feel like I should say what my choice is going to be for our interview review next month. Is it? Is my pick?
I'll make a mental note of this. Yes.
So yes. I will do that right now. I will say at this point, I haven't decided what match we're going to watch as a concurrent link to it, because in ring for one of them, I'll leave you to decide which one, isn't their strongest suit, in my opinion. But nevertheless, we are going to also dip into the WWE Network. I hope it will be available locked somewhere within the peacock's plumage. Yeah, you like what I did there? Sure, for our friends in the US. And we will be watching an edition of, again, somebody for whom I have great personal dislike, although I never met him. But that's the whole point. Out of the comfort zone, an edition of Legends with JBL.
Ooh.
Where we interview somebody who we will be seeing a bit of in a couple of weeks, like it or not, where he interviews Mr. Jimmy Hart.
Okay.
Really going to be off the reservation with that one. Mm. I have also yet to see that interview myself. Well, I thought we'd really test ourselves out next month with that one, gents. So we will be watching and viewing Legends with JBL, Jimmy Hart. And now I've got which Jimmy Hart match with Mankow are we going to watch in a month's time?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It won't be one of those. I think we all know what JBL match I am going to pick to watch afterwards, but...
Is it the one that allegedly had with Steve Blackman in the airport when he gets knocked out? That would be a good one to watch.
It could well be. Yeah, so that's next month. But we haven't quite finished this month yet. We're almost there, but Callum's going to bring us home with...
Well, I will challenge you gentlemen once again to talk your way out of this one.
Oh, wow.
So that's what we previewed it last month, where I gave Rory a statement. He had to defend it for 30 seconds, and he did likewise to me. I gave one to Ben also. It's taken, once again, liberally taken from a British radio institution. Basically, each of us will give one of the other guys a statement that they have to defend for 30 seconds, regardless if they believe it or not. And normally, as it will go, they don't believe it whatsoever. So you can imagine the sort of stuff that that will be firing at each other. The example I gave last month is, I will say to someone, the Sting versus Hogan. The finish to Sting versus Hogan was the perfect end to a pay per view and has never been topped. And then one of them will have to defend that for 30 seconds. No stoppages, no stuttering. They've just got to keep going and grin and bear it, and hopefully make it the whole way. So, we've drawn names out of the hat. I have drawn Rory. Rory has drawn Ben, and Ben has drawn myself. So does anyone care to make a start, or would you like me to hit you with yours first, Rory?
Go on, Callum, bring it on. Let's get mine done.
Right. So I will get my timer up here. My stopwatch on the dog and bone here. That's like 30 seconds. Rory, for the next 30 seconds, you're going to need to talk your way out of this one. What professional wrestling needs, in terms of selling, is more thigh slaps.
of course we need more thigh slaps, everybody. It's all about everybody back in row Z. And I don't want to really believe this stuff. In fact, never mind thigh slaps. I want to see people doing the hokey cokey in the ring after they actually hit a super kick. I especially want to see the Young Bucks doing their little dance stuff. Let's face it, they're experts at this sort of thing anyway. And they're in on the joke, and they are just big joke themselves. I couldn't help myself on that one. But yes, more thigh slaps, less head hitting the mat, more stomping of the mat. And just face it, this is all one big joke anyway, isn't it, really?
Wow. Perfectly timed.
even then, I couldn't resist a pop-up. I just can't help myself.
At one point, Rory, we're going to run out of things that we can shoehorn an AEW dig in. We're going to run out of things for you to be able to do that with.
Well, you waited on the AEW question last month. I thought that's how we were going to start, but there's no way you were going to go 2 months without it.
No, not at all.
So you could say I was semi-prepped for that, but okay. But that was a great question. Right, around the triangle is my turn to do some asking now for Mr. Benjamin Locke.
Okay.
Then, are you ready? I shall just... I'll count the 30 seconds for you on my laptop here. So, talk your way out of this one, Mr. Locke. The Fiend and Alexa Bliss are just the great value Ronald McDonald and grot bags.
First of all, excellent target reference for our American friends, Rory. But obviously, yes, you know... These are two seminal characters of the 1980s that have just basically made a comeback. Grotbags was this wicked Witch of the West type character. And of course the Fiend is, I'd almost say he's not only a great value Ronald McDonald, he's a great value Doink the Clown. Let's be honest. If there was a mini Fiend, we would not be surprised. Alexa as Grotbags, yeah, you could totally see that. She obviously likes... They both cast amazing spells, I did all right there.
Yeah. Grotbags, everybody, is a witch from a children's program that aired primarily in the 1980s here, as Ben rightly said. But everybody, come on now. Ronald McDonald and Great Value. I gave you two there, US listeners. Come on.
Yes.
You had to give me Grotbags. Excellent attempt there, Ben. I thought I'd cut you off just before you started getting to Twitch at 6 a.m. about Alexa. Again, much like with me and the Young Bucks, albeit for very different reasons, you just couldn't help yourself. So there we are.
Okay. So Callum, are you ready?
I am ready. But have you got a timer? Will I time it?
Go on, go with your timer because your time is a bit more soundproof, or I don't know if that's the phrase I'm going for.
Okay.
But talk your way out of this. Charlotte Flair is not a cosplaying version of her father and a totally original act.
Well, of course she is. I mean, she, if you remember back to the time where she was in NXT and she even dropped the Flair part. I mean, what more can you say? She wanted to disassociate herself from her father. In fact, you could even say that Ric Flair is cosplaying of Charlotte, because let's be honest, who's wooing on television every week? Charlotte is one of the premier athletes of the WWE today, and deserves all the credit she should have, and it's disrespectful, quite honestly, to say that she's a cosplayer of her father.
Very good.
Excellent. I'll be honest, I've got to say, Callum, Rory, I don't know if you feel the same, but I would say Callum wins this particular round.
For Mr. McDougall today, yep.
Yes, I spluttered and splurted through mine, and Rory's was very good as well, but I'd have to give the nod to Callum there.
Yeah, Callum actually played the game. He didn't actually slag off the...
You fit one dig in.
The Young Bucks are a bunch of pricks. There we go. I can say it now. I'm not
kick,
in the 30 seconds.
Super kick party.
Well, okay, that was great. You really had me there, Callum, and that's the whole point. So yeah, that's a victory for you today.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You didn't mention. The second coming of William Wallace. So I felt composed this month.
You know, just to peel the fourth wall away for our listeners, I did say in our little chat, I deliberately didn't want to do an anti-Drew message, because that would have been far too obvious.
We got that one out of the way, episode one.
I mean, I would have done the old William Regal and taking it off the bloody air. I just hung up the 2 years.
It's just a shame, Callum, that nobody actually heard your brilliant 30 seconds there, because they were all going onto Google Images typing in grot bags. It's a shame, really, but never mind. Winner in our hearts.
If you take nothing else from the Tonight Show, ladies and gentlemen, just grot bags. That's all you need to remember.
And you can see where I got it from as well. No, you really, really can't. Right, after that, and Callum basking in your victory, not the first of those you've had.
Yes.
On this podcast network over the last couple of months or so, I think it's time to bring this one home.
Yeah,
we took about his tough semi again.
you brought that one up.
Hey! Yes, I have a tough semi because of my victory and the friends trivia night over on the Pop Experience. That is continuing every couple of weeks. I believe that I've been penciled in for the middle of May before the semi finals start. Very tough semi.
Got to face one of the bosses.
I feel like there's a conspiracy going on, because the boss of the Pop Experience hosts it, and the boss of the Wrestling Network will be on there as well. But you know what? I'm here for a good time. That's all. I'm here for a good time. So yeah, very many excellent podcasts on the Pop Experience, on the Wrestling Network, and of course the Brother and Sister feeds across the quad of pods at the Jenny Position and the No So Connection Podcast Network. Sorry, because it's not just wrestling over there. They do have their pop culture on there as well. Many great podcasts on those quad of pods are hosted by my colleagues here tonight. So Ben, what do you have going on within the quad?
I will mention a couple of things. First of all, there is on the pop feed, there is a new episode of Telly and T coming out, where me and Miranda talk all things WandaVision. You think I go on about Io Shirai a lot? Wait till you hear about me talking about Catherine Hahn and Elizabeth Olsen, boys. That's all I'll say. As well as that, I'm very excited to announce we have got a new podcast coming to the pop feed called Popcorn Chicken Salad, where we are going to be live watching some bad or guilty pleasure movies. The first film we will be watching is going to be Mortal Kombat from 1995. So that will be coming out sometime in April, first couple of weeks, just before the new film comes out. Here on the Wrestling Network, the newest episode of Chicken Salad is out at the moment, where we're doing WrestleMania 9. The next episode we've also recorded that, because the boys are going to be away at this year's WrestleMania. We are going to be doing WrestleMania 27. The show going forward, we are aiming to carry on. Obviously, with the Peacock situation, we're not sure what we're going to be watching in May just yet, but the show will be carrying on in some form through the summer.
Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. I hope it's not. I hope Chicken Salad doesn't fall foul to the move to Peacock.
Very good use of foul there. I like that.
Don't even mean it.
But yeah, so we've obviously got a backup plan of we've all at the moment. I'm having some Impact Plus fight issues, but that's our sort of fallback plan, is to do a couple of TNA shows whilst things are getting on their feet with the Peacock move.
Sounds good. I mean, there is a plethora of wrestling that you can find out, predominantly good. That's why it's archived on places like YouTube, but hopefully you can find some shockers as well to cover.
We'll be fine, we'll get sorted.
And Rory, you've got the opposite of a shocker coming up very soon. You're in the midst of it. You're the marathon man just now, but please let us know everything and anything that's coming up on Wrestling 20 Years Ago and on Place to Be Nation. That so you have got coming up.
Here on Place to Be Nation, have my show Senior Video, where I review, well, again, another one which could be up in the air, really, for many of our prospective guests. Review a show from the Home Video Classic section of the WWE Network. Again, could be in jeopardy, but we'll see how we go. At least for now, a show I did with Sean Kidd, looking at the Hart Foundation VHS, is the most recent episode up on the network. There will be a new one dropping with a brand new guest in about a week or so watch out for that. And as trailed very often over the last 2 hours, wrestling 20 years ago, we've reached our zenith, really, with March 2001. No fewer than 8 hours of material for March 2001 available for your listening pleasure. That's been out for a couple of days as you hear this show. We've split March 2001 into three volumes. Volume one, and the biggest one of all, we look at the breakdown of WCW. We break down the breakdown of WCW day by day, leading to the final denouement at the end of March 2001. Look at how the company eventually fell out of being, what could have been done to save it. And then at the end, we have a little look out of timeline as well. Legacy WCW. There'll be another special show coming in a few months' time where we really look back at it. But for now, we spend most of our time looking at the collapse on the day and the week and the month. Bob Bamber was brought back for that one as well, alongside me and Eric Landstrom. Volume 2, Chris White and I look at all happenings in the WWF that month, primarily looking at the build to WrestleMania. Volume 3, a very special show where we watch both the final edition of Nitro and the go-home show for Raw for WrestleMania, including that simulcast. We go through that minute by minute, segment by segment. A historic day indeed. Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. I would highly recommend you do listen to them in that order as well. So do check those ones out. And, as I'm sure you were expecting, WrestleMania 17 to be reviewed in full. Again, I am recording that as you listen to this podcast, so just get your heads around that one. But it will be dropping on the 20th anniversary of the show itself, April the 1st. And no, that's not a joke. Our complete review of WrestleMania 17 with me, Eric Landstrom, Chris White, Chris Lacey, and Dan Welling. We've worked very hard on getting that one up there for you, the biggest show we've ever done. And we hope you enjoy it on the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Excellent stuff. And when we mentioned you don't want to watch, nobody wants to watch 23 hours of wrestling a week. Rory knows exactly what that's like, because I can imagine that's what the preparation is for March and April of 2001 on the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast. For myself, we have got Croc and Roll as. I've got quite a few episodes coming out. We've had the episode where we interviewed Nikita Koloff, which was a hell of an episode to record. We have done a preview almost, or a companion piece to Starrcade 1985, where we had Jacob Williams on, and we talked about the best matches from Starrcade 1983 and 84 with the people that we will see or have seen on our timeline. So unfortunately, that does rule out the dog collar match from Starrcade 83, but we still watched some good ones on there. And of course, we've got Starrcade 1983 with the boss joining us for that one. Starrcade 1985, sorry, with the boss joining us for that one. With you've got legendary matches such as Magnum TA against Tully Blanchard. And as you can imagine, being the big fans that we are of Magnum and Tully, even before, it's a legendary match. We gushed over that one for a while, and we could have talked about it for much longer. By the time this comes out, you may have already heard that Croc and Roll is going on a small hiatus. It's been really hampered by the change from the network to Peacock, because we don't know when Mid-Atlantic and Saturday Night are going to move across there. But as soon as it does, we will be back with that one. We are aiming for no later than a September reboot, but we'll have stuff in between then for you. As you've heard referenced as well, we do have the PTBN Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PlaceToBeNation. We've also got the YouTube channel, which we do the monthly pay-per-view live streams on as well, talking about simulcasts. Just search Place to Be Nation, all one word, and there you'll find the channel there. WrestleMania is obviously the next stop on that one. And if you aren't going to be in the crowd in Tampa, be in the crowd in, on Twitch. Join the chat. Just on Sunday, just past as we record this, we had the doubleheader Back for the Attack and Fastlane, and it was the most successful we've had yet. So thank you for everyone who came along and was part of that. And hopefully we can do even better for night one and night two of WrestleMania. We're going to do both nights on that one as well. So please like, subscribe, follow, whatever you do on those particular platforms, and we'll see you for two nights of WrestleMania, which isn't long now from when we record this. It's just but less than 3 weeks away now. So yes, do all that and enjoy everything that's coming up on the Quad of Pods, and be sure to listen as well to Rory's content, because a hell of a lot, as you can hear, hell of a lot of work's gone into that, and it's going to be amazing when it finally gets released. So I know I am eagerly waiting for the stuff to drop as well. So check out when it comes. But other than that, the Peacock transition will not hamper your boys across the water. And anyway, so we will be back next month with more of the same banter, shite, whatever you call it. But until then, please stay safe, and we'll see you next time.